Nice.
I'm hijacked.
Ding, 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 ding. We got a winner.
It only does this when it starts up.
Never turn the computer off then.
You can trust no one, especially people that you think you can trust. Except for us. Right. You can trust us.
We want others to learn from your pain.
Let me tell you what my dilemma is.
Let's do that.
Does your computer bite? Has your hard drive gone floppy? It's time to call the Computer Corner on News 92.3 KTAR. Dial 602-277-5827. That's 277-KTAR. Now in the Computer Corner, here are the data doctors, Ken Colburn and Brandon Disney.
And that's right, that's the number, and now is the time. We actually have open phone lines, very rare. Second hour here of the Computer Corner. It's Ken Colburn, Brandon Disney, the data doctors, here to have some fun, answer some questions, and by goodness, if you learn something from this show, we apologize. That is not our intent.
602-277-5827 are the digits to dial, and dial on now would be my advice.
Yeah, if you want to kind of get on through easily. We have content up there that we've talked about earlier in the show here, referring to the term splog, splogging, and sportles. These are blogs that basically are nothing more than spam and ads, and they're trying to get you to click on the ads so that they make money because they are participating in one of many pay-per-click schemes that are out there so that if you click on it, they get some small amount of money for that click. And, of course, whoever is paying for that click is trying to find real customers, and a lot of times these ads appear on nonsensical websites that have nothing. And, in fact, they invite all of their friends to click on the ads just so that they make money. So it's multiple levels of grief and garbage. But the bottom line is, when you our advice, when you run into these sites that seem to be nothing but gibberish and a bunch of ads, don't click on anything. Click your back button. Run away.
Couldn't these guys that are all just trying to make money by clicks, couldn't, you know, let's say there's 1,000 of them out there. Couldn't all 1,000 of them get together and say, hey guys, let's form ourselves a little clickers union and tell you what, I'm going to put up these 10 ads and you guys put up your ads and let's each other know about each other's ads and we'll all, 1,000 of us, click on each other's stuff and generate a bunch of money.
Well, they do that.
What about that?
They already do that. They have whole teams of people that are just out
clickers?
There clicking on their own ads.
When you see those ads saying make $300,000 a year working from home,
yes.
Is that what you're doing? Are you just clicking on ads?
No, you wouldn't be
that
making
would be
that
a,
kind
a
of money.
Boring existence.
The people that are employing you might be able to make that kind of money, but it's a bad situation. Pay-per-click is a great way to get your product or service advertised. If you are a pay-per-click user, if you're using Google AdWords, the biggest area of exposure in this click fraud area that we kind of talked about in a previous show is the content network, because that's where these splogs get their ads, is through the content network as opposed to just the Google search engine results. So if you are an advertiser in Google AdWords and you see that you're spending a lot of money on the content network, there's a real high likelihood that 60% of that traffic is on splogs and could easily be errant clicks from the people that put up the splogs because they're just trying to get as many clicks as possible on their site. So
beware if you're doing any kind of pay-per-click advertising. And by the way, Ken mentioned previous shows. If you're interested in seeing, actually more importantly, hearing previous shows, you can do either or both anytime, datadoctors.com. Click on the radio show section and scroll to the bottom where it shows previous shows. We've got a couple years worth there for you to see and listen to. So all that's waiting for you anytime.
Speaking of clicking, should we go to our Geek Speak of the Week real quick before we go back to the phones?
We can do that.
All right. Every week through our newsletter, through this show, through the airways, we try to educate you with a new term. Try to find those new terms that are just emerging so that you can sound really intelligent when you're at that cocktail party. That's our public service to you. It's our Geek Speak of the Week. And this week's Geek Speak is Sip and Click.
Do you think this will actually qualify for a public service announcement that KTR can log and
no.
use to their credit?
Not at all, because it's us.
Okay.
Sip and click is a term that has come about because it has to do with impulse buying. It's obviously a lot more active in grocery stores and in physical shopping situations. But under the influence, anything's possible. And this new term has been invented because it's real easy to log in online. And if you're a little, well, let's just say you have some of the happy juice.
Tipsy.
and you happen to log in, and of course you don't even have to remember your username and password if you have it all programmed in there. You just click on the link and go, I think I want that three-handled toothbrush. It looks really good.
Three-handled toothbrush?
I don't know. Just whatever you do.
I'm trying to think about what.
Don't drink an eBay. I'm just telling you that right now. Just from me to you.
Three-handled toothbrush.
If you do engage in that and you end up with garbage that shows up at your front door, you may have engaged in sip and click.
I'm still trying to deal with the three-handled toothbrush. Where you even pulled that out of is beyond me.
Only from the mind of Colburn.
There you go.
Later on, we'll give you our head whack of the week. And, of course, if you like this kind of content and you'd like it delivered directly to your email, provided your ISP will allow us to deliver this to you, you may do so by signing up for our newsletter in the free help section of datadoctors.com, or you can, if you are RSS or feed reader inclined, we have feeds, including podcasts of the show, available through those feeds. You can get that at feeds.datadoctors.com. Back to the phones. Who's
next? Back to the phones, Michelle. I believe we have
Robbo. Welcome to the computer corner. How may we be of assistance?
Yes, sir. Unfortunately, my question is not related to the subject. But anyway, I have a question about XM radio. Are you guys familiar with it?
Yes.
Okay. I have heard that if you bought an XM unit that acts as an MP3 player, so you can record some music to it, you are not going to be able to transfer that to your MP3 player. Is that true, and is there any way around it?
Yes and yes.
Okay.
There's a way around everything, but the question really is, there's devices that were created that allow you to do basically what TiVo does for television. These devices do for XM radio, and they have them for Sirius as well. But they're devices that allow you to record shows for later playback at your convenience. Now, these devices are, the stuff is encoded in this device in such a way that it's not transferable by any normal means
this
to another device.
This is through something called Digital Rights Management, DRM.
Oh, I see.
They're trying to lock down what you get from there so you can't, because think about it, if you could record something off of XM to an MP3 player and then transfer it to another MP3 player?
Right.
Remember the old Napster days?
Yes.
That's exactly what would happen.
Well, the other problem is they live on subscriptions, and so if you could record this stuff, you could also post this stuff, which means other people could get this stuff without buying a subscription. Kind of makes their business model a little tough.
Exactly.
So they have to lock this stuff down, primarily in agreement with all of the artists and the record labels. They have to show that they have a way to lock this stuff down so that you have to go to extraordinary measures to be able to circumvent the DRM, the Digital Rights Management.
Now, with that said, I'm sure where there's a will, there's a way, but that's probably not going to happen on this show.
Yeah, we're not going to tell you how to break the law.
Right, but I thought once you pay for the device and you pay your subscription, you have the right for personal use to record something off of a radio.
No. This is not. You're thinking of broadcast radio. You're thinking of the old model.
Oh, I see.
This is, if you read very closely the contracts that you signed, that I'm sure you read word for word, you would see that they very clearly protect the content. They have to. See, that digital, when it became digital and easy, I mean, in the past when it was just analog, okay, I record something off the radio and I could share it with, you know, in my whole lifetime, I might be able to share it with 1,000 people. You know, if I was like every week trying to give somebody a copy of it.
Well, I see.
With the internet, I can share it with 10 million people in about 30 seconds.
That's
because
true.
It's digital. So since that's the dynamic now, anything that's that easily shared has to be locked down, or else, you know, that's the same problem with iTunes. When you buy a piece of music from the iTunes store,
right,
in its default setting, you can only play it on the machine you downloaded it to and to your particular iPod.
And I think if you read real closely both their agreements, XM's agreements, any of these guys, you're going to find out that you don't actually own anything other than the device itself.
Right. You don't own the content. You're using the content.
You have a license to listen to it.
I see.
And that's where it ends.
Okay. So I am basically out of luck when it comes to transferring that information to my other
Right. They want you to use their little portable MP3 player.
Exactly. Which is much more expensive than an iPod. It's pretty expensive to get something.
But this same idea exists not just there. It's with software. I mean, when you buy a copy of Windows XP, you actually don't own a copy of Windows XP. You own a license to use it.
Right. I see.
And you own nothing. And that's true with almost every software that's out there. That extends to lots of broadcast mediums across the board.
And if you go out and buy Jimmy Buffett's last CD, you'll have a license to chill.
Or if you buy Beastie Boys, a license to ill.
So there are all kinds of licenses you can get out there. But do you understand the problem and the reason why it's locked down?
I sure do now, because before I thought maybe once you paid your subscription, you were entitled to it.
But oh, no, no, no. Fair use now that can be argued, when it comes to, there's this fair use versus digital rights management. There's controlling the content versus, you know, what's fair. But the bottom line is you probably signed an agreement that basically said, I agree to these parameters. And those are the parameters you have.
And most likely that agreement was written by them, so it's going to be in their favor and not fair to you.
Not most likely. Not most likely. It was definitely written.
He might have a special agreement with XM. We don't know.
Yeah, okay. Does that help, Rob?
Yes, thank you very much for the information. I appreciate it.
You bet. Take care now.
All right. Bye-bye.
Now, again, that doesn't mean you hackers out there, I know how to get around it. Fine. That's not what we're talking about here. This is not Hacker Central.
It's definitely not.
Definitely.
We're going to take a quick break, get a little bit caffeinated,
really
so that
show.
We can do a much better job of bringing you technology information. But first, someone bringing you traffic information. It's Lauren Carey in the KTAR Traffic Center.
Thank you, Northbound.